Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
BJ Armstrong joins us now on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline, Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park. He is on Twitter at BJ Armstrong, and he's busy at this point of his career. The three-time NBA champion is executive vice president, managing exec at Wasserman, and the co-host of the Pushing Through podcast. How are you doing today, BJ?
I'm doing great this morning. Just listening to my friend Will. You know, Will is he's a star. He's a star. A star was made last night.
Come on now, kid. But I appreciate that. But let's be honest here. BJ's out in L.A., so it's an early morning for him. We certainly appreciate him getting out of bed early. I know you still don't do sweets. Do you do coffee, kid?
Yeah, I don't do coffee. You know, I saved that for, you know, Cartwright and the guys, and the coffee just didn't agree with me. So, but I watched many guys over my career, you know, consume coffee before games, and I was never one.
BJ, I loved seeing the rivalry with the Pistons play out the way it did, and it wasn't you get the sense that people who didn't live through that would think it was over dramatized. But man, when you saw the truth of Michael's reaction to being shown what Isaiah was saying, trying to reframe the whole walk off during the playoff defeat, I loved that part. That's as real as this series has gotten, to see just how profane and how deep some of those feelings still are.
Yeah, you know, we get it. And there's the competitive side of you that understood, because we lived it, right? We were focused individually. We were focused as a group, knowing what we had to do. And make no doubt about it, the Detroit Pistons were a team that, you know, they were to be respected. And they deserve that respect. And when we came to battle with them, you had to respect the game, not only physically, mentally. They were a great group. They had great coaches and great leadership. And they were a very prideful group. So it really stirs up a lot of emotions. Just watching it myself, I can't speak for Will, but it was very, you know, some things that I've moved on, you know, like, you know, I've moved on, and that was then, and this is now. But then I was able to recall, like, those times. I remember that locker room when we did lose and how we lost. I remember when, you know, all of us, Will and all of us, made that commitment that summer coming back before the 91 season. So there were a lot of things that I kind of just shelved or put to the side somewhere in this head of mine. But then I was like, oh, yeah, I kind of remember that. And those were good times, and those are times that you'll always recall. I'll always remember Will and I at the multiplex, you know, working out that summer and all of the things that we shared and all the things we did to get to that point.
You know, BJ, you're a student of the game, and I always respected and learned a lot from you from how you approach the game. And I thought you were very knowledgeable, but how did you individually, you had the comment last night that in 1991 when Dennis, you know, fouled Horace and then didn't react like we had in years past from a physicality standpoint, you know, they knew at that point we had them. But how did you, learning, you know, how to play basketball in the Detroit area, going to Iowa, being with the Bulls, how did you have to adapt your game, not only, not just to the NBA, but how we were playing against the Pistons, to not react emotionally, but continue just to focus on the game of basketball itself and not let the Pistons into our psyche?
Well, it's kind of funny. Well, you know, growing up, you know, that's kind of how you learn to play in the Detroit area. So, you know, watching the Pistons as a youngster, right? I remember when Isaiah was drafted there. I remember when Joe Dumars was drafted. I remember all those people as they, you know, early in their career. I was still in high school in the Detroit area, and then I went on to college. And so I followed the Pistons. And the one thing that, you know, all of the, you know, most who play in the city of Detroit, you know, there was the physical game, which, you know, you saw that was kind of prevalent throughout the NBA, right? You know, everyone played with a certain level of physicality, but mentally, that's what you try to do. You talk trash, not to just talk trash. You talk trash to mentally break down the other person, right? You're always mentally staying on them to see what was their weak point, where they're going to react. So I just kind of was aware of that, you know, growing up. And for us, you know, as a group, we were a very talented group, right? We had obviously a magnificent player in Jordan, and we had another, like, he was kind of an anomaly in many sense at that time, Scottie Pippen, because Scottie was a player who could not only, you know, do the things off the dribble, but he could pass and create opportunities for guys like us and for the rest of the team. And mentally, I just knew that. I don't know how I knew it. I just knew it because that was the way you play. Like, when you played in the city of Detroit, that's what everybody did. That's why that team was loved. If anything, growing up in the city of Detroit and being there, that team, the Bad Boys, if there was ever a team that was representative of the city and how it viewed itself, it was that group, right? That team is beloved up there. And my family loved the Detroit Pistons, right? They were rooting for me to say, hey, BJ, I hope you do well, but we're all Bad Boys fans here. You know, it was kind of a joke, ha-ha, but it really wasn't a joke. That was the truth, right? My parents, my whole family, they were Bad Boy fans. So I understood that, and I think you saw it. And I remember when Scottie got hit, when he did react, you know, it was just like, oh, this is how we play. Up there, you don't react. You know, you had the mental capacity to understand the bigger picture, which was why we came here in the first place, which was to win. And it was one of those moments. I really wish, Will, that someone, I could have said I learned it from somewhere. I just kind of knew it playing up in the streets of Detroit. Just that's how we do, and that's how we play up there.
I also found it interesting, BJ, the way they edited some things last night, that when they show John Sally, when they show Rodman, when they show James Buddha Edwards, all of them would eventually become Bulls. And it's obvious that there had to be some respect in there when you were bringing in these crusty old vets in that second three-peat, because that kind of presence, that locker room presence and that understanding mattered for some reason. It was the ultimate sign of respect when all was said and done. Maybe not for Isaiah, maybe not for how they comported themselves, but for a certain kind of mental toughness that the Bulls themselves later on wanted to mirror.
Well, I think the Bulls had it. We just had to, you know, we just had to get there, right? You don't just walk in and I don't think it's like one of those things that you walk into this league and you say, hey, I'm mentally tough. Well, you thought you were until you get here and you understand there are levels to this, right? The Pistons had mastered that. And I think one of the things that allows you to get to that point is defeat. You know, once you lose and once you learn how difficult and how great some of these players are, right? You're playing against the best players in the world, the Larry Birds, the Magic Johnsons, the Kareems, you know, so forth and so on. And in defeat, you develop this mental toughness because it forces you to look at yourself. And, you know, all of us, the Bulls, that 1990 defeat in Game 7 was, if anything, for me personally, I think for the team, was that was our moment of truth. Either we were going to do it or we weren't. And that's what developed that toughness that you're talking about. You really have to dig deep to say, why am I really playing this game? And at that moment, you know, I knew I was up against an opponent that was, they weren't going to give us the championship. We had to figure out a way to really come together and beat this team if we were going to have a chance. So the mental toughness that's needed to play at the championship level, it's something that you develop. And that was a tough moment for all of us, that whole locker room, that whole team, that whole group. But in that moment, I think we all found ourselves, and we found ourselves why we were playing, because we loved it. We loved the game. And if you didn't love it, it was going to show. And for all of those, you know, gentlemen at that time, all of us who were young at that time, we had to make a commitment, a lifestyle commitment, because this group had it was the group dynamics where we believed. We believed we could do it. We didn't know how we were going to do it, but we believed we could do it. And the following year, we went on to win that year, the next year, the next year. And, in the end, the Bulls organization won 6 championships in 8 years. So it was developed. And if you ask me, that's where it was developed, actually in game 7 of the previous year.
Hey, BJ, I have a 16-year-old son. You have a son in college. And I try to explain to him, but I also try to explain to other people just how difficult it is to not only develop that mentality, but also maintain that championship mentality, not only day for day, month to month, year for year, but just over that time frame. Can you talk about what it was that you had to do, the sacrifices you had to make to stay at that level?
Well, Will, when you win, you see the celebration, you see the things, and I remember walking in the locker room and I just remember the things, right? I remember hugging and you and I and all of the teams. You just have like these memories, right, that I kind of forgot. But the one thing I don't miss is I remember the perseverance. I remember the discipline it takes to do it, right? We won in June of 91, but I remember the summer of 1990, because the championship, everyone saw it in 91, but I remember it first taking place in my mind of we could do this in the summer. So to me, the discipline of watching all of us, right, Bill Cartwright and yourself and Horace and Scotty and all of us making a life commitment in that summer is where the championship was won. And the discipline it takes to do that, right? You can talk about it, you can give great interviews, you can do these things, but the discipline that it took to make that type of commitment, you actually win the championships in the summer. That's where you win them, right? If you could walk around all 30 teams and look who's doing what in the summer, I could tell you who's going to win a championship in June, because that's where the work is done. And that summer was perhaps the greatest summer of discipline that I've had. And I remember how difficult that was, because now that affects everyone around you, right? People, when you go on vacation, no, I can't. I got to do this. Your way you eat, the way you sleep, the way you do everything. So the discipline of having that type of focus, that's hard. And I don't wish that on anyone, right? Because life goes on. But for that moment in time, basketball and the game was so important to me and so important to all of us that we all made a lifestyle commitment. And those are things that you recall, it's difficult because I don't think that's like, who wants to live that way, right? Well, I remember all of us being there every day in the summer when we could have been doing other things. We were all there because we were all had this goal in mind for whatever reason. And you know what? I just remember, I would rather be traveling. I'd rather be doing other things. But for some reason, it's driving me to do this. It was like almost like you become like this. It was like you're almost like some type of maniac, right? You just did it. And you wanted to do it because you were preparing yourself for something in the future. We didn't even know if we were going to get there. You know, every team is always an ankle sprain away from being in the lottery. But for whatever reason, I was just driven to do it to the point where nothing was going to get in my way, nothing was going to get in your way, nothing was going to get in any of our way, because we had this vision, if you will, that drove us to do this. So you win, and I think that's what brings about all this emotion. You see the emotion when you do win, because you know how difficult that is. And, you know, I know a lot of people love the game and say they love the game, and it's hard because you're like, yeah, you may love it, but to do that, it requires a certain level that only a few know about. So, you know, you just kind of remember that and then you move on, because last night that was – it was kind of emotional just to watch you last night even again, because I started thinking of things that I had just completely forgot about.
I agree with you, but also, BJ, to hammer that point home before we let you go, the year before, I think, is when, after we lost to Detroit, you and I, with our wives at the time, went to the Caribbean, and I forget what island we went to. And I remember our wives talking to us about, what is wrong with you guys? We're in the Caribbean. We're in paradise. You guys are a bunch of curmudgeons. And I remember specifically they would ask us, you guys going to watch the games tonight? You guys going to watch the finals? And we're like, hell no. Why do we want to watch that crap? And I just remember how long it took us to adjust. And like you talk about, the sacrifice, both mentally and physically, of committing yourself to get ready for the next year.
Yeah, it's something, you know. Those are great times, and just, you know, most of the stories, you know, we knew, right, Will, or we were part of it, and you recognize it now. So, you know, I was comfortably now over 50, living the over 50 life, right, with my kids, and all of a sudden now you brought back all of these memories, and just for like 2 seconds, Will, I thought I could, oh man, I could do it again, but you know what, I there's no way. So it's. It's fun to watch. It's fun to, you know, reconnect to everyone. And now I'm talking to Will at, you know, 7 in the morning here on a Monday morning. So it's good. It's all good that we're all back together. The band is back. And but in the end, you know what? We're all old now. And we talk about what it used to be like in the old days.
Hey, BJ, before we let you go, the Bulls appear to have a new general manager, Mark Eversley, who was the player personnel chief over with Philadelphia. And it's a big deal because it's the first time they'll have a man or person of color as with a position that powerful in the front office. And there was a time that we thought that was going to be you, that it was going to be B.J. Armstrong would be the first black GM of the Chicago Bulls. So what does it mean to you to see Mark Eversley reportedly getting this position under Arturis Karnišovas right now?
Well, you know, Mark is a good friend and very capable. So congratulations to him and his family. I know he's been around the NBA for quite some time. And you have these special moments and opportunities. And this is one. And he's certainly come into a great city with a great, great fan base. And, you know, it's obvious, you know, how, you know, people, especially the fans up there, revere sports and embrace the teams when they perform and perform well. So, you know, congrats to him. I think it's a great opportunity. Certainly the city of Chicago, they love their teams. They love their heroes up there. And you know, Will and myself and all of us have experienced that firsthand. And you know what? Now, you know, it's – you know, now that we know who's been hired, now it's time to get to work. So I know they're excited about being up there, and I think it'll be a great opportunity. I think the people up there will get a chance to experience, you know, Mark and Arturis and the people that they've hired and go for it. So, I mean, it's a great city, great team, and you know what? You know, well, they certainly have my support, and I'll be rooting for them as well.
BJ, thanks so much for taking the time to join us today. We really appreciate it.
All right, thank you. All right, Chili, you be good up there, and we'll talk soon.
All right, kid, you got it.
Yep.
That is BJ Armstrong, a 3-time NBA champion with the Chicago Bulls. Will Perdue is sitting in with me today. I'm Dan Bernstein. We're here until noon. Not only are we talking about the Bulls, we're also going to be talking about the new Chicago Bears. They had a draft haul over the weekend that includes what appears to be a starting tight end and a starting quarterback.
At 9:40, we're going to talk to Ryan Harris all about Cole Kmet. And then we're going to have Eric Edholm. We're going to have Hub Arkish. We're going to be reminiscing about the Bulls and breaking down what we saw in the Last Dance last night. When we come back, we got to get to the truth.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.